Anyways, that's my pet peeve. The book of Acts. Here we go. The value of your assignment will be measured by the intensity of your warfare. Okay? If you're doing something for God and you're getting in a fist fight all the time spiritually and things are going on around you, well, you got something going on. Think it not strange, the fiery trials and things you go through. We got to understand that that's what takes place. So warfare against you isn't destined to destroy you. If it was, you wouldn't be here. Think about your last big battle you had, tried to take you out, but you're here. So if it was destined to destroy you, it would have, but it is designed to transform you and strengthen you. Transform you and strengthen you. And I know that's not easy to say in the midst of the battle. You know, when mama made you eat something you didn't like, she said, it's good for you. You don't like it now, but it's going to help you. Or when daddy come in there and say, this is going to hurt me more than you, son. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I remember a principal took me in there, and he was a real leadership guy. And he said, all right, face the eagle. I'm like, face the eagle? What, am I going to learn a leadership principle? Yes, you are. Kaboom, kabam, kaboom. A couple good swats and whatever. And you know what? I didn't change. I was still pretty ornery. Anyways, but the whole warfare thing does change you. It does strengthen you. When our warfare intensifies, so should our prayers. Again, that seems so elementary, but it's true. And we forget that, again, when we're in the midst of the battle. We need to have like a little warfare book where we just turn to those pages and say, okay, do this now. It's called the Bible, but we usually don't do that. We just cry out to God and say, you know, I'm dying over here. Can you help me? But we really need to intensify our prayers. And then finally, revival is a sure sign that trouble is coming, but it won't last forever. Anytime you're about to have a move of God, there's always a wave of counterfeit. There's always a wave of issues. There's always something to try to disturb and to knock you off focus of what God is doing. And the key to weathering those storm is to recognize and realize that what's coming against me doesn't last forever, but where I'm headed does. What comes against me doesn't last forever. So if you're trying to knock me off my focus, if I can just learn to bat that out of the way and focus on forever, then I'll make it through my storm. And we don't do that because, like Peter, we look at the waves and the storms and we fall off the word. When we can stand on the word and say, you know what, I'm going to the other side. Why? Because he said so. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you're throwing out against me. You know, I'm talking about your enemies. You know how they say things. You just bat it to the side and say, nope, I'm headed to forever. All right, so if we do that, that's going to make us victorious. So a revival is a sure sign. Trouble is coming. Isn't that true, though? And when I say revival, not just revival in the church where everybody's running around, there's an evangelist with slick hair, shiny shoes, and all that stuff. I'm talking about revival is inside of us. This church is in revival. If you would look at, and I'm not being braggadocious, I'm just using this as a characteristic. If you look at the characteristics of this church, it is a revival church. We're in revival. When you come in here, you feel the presence of God. Regardless of some of, you know, how we come in, sometimes we physically are, you know, dragging, emotional, whatever. But for the most part, you know, there's excitement in the house. There's love in the house. And we're seeing great things happen in this church. And that's what revival is. You bring revival into the house. You don't wait for the man to slap you in the forehead with oil and be like Bunny Foo Foo with a wand. That's not revival. Revival begins inside of you. Charles Finney, the great American evangelist, said this, revival isn't anything but a new obedience towards God. Love that. It's a tremendous truth. So if I have a new obedience towards God, if I just turn from the way I was going and go to a new direction in Him, I'm revived. And so when we come together into the church revived, man, that makes a difference, and people can tell. So why did I say that? Because isn't it funny how that when you're in personal revival and God's doing stuff inside of you, here comes the devil. I mean, knocking on the door, whatever. But you know what? It's not going to last forever. So don't focus on that. All right, Acts chapter 12, last time we got together. Remember that verse 1, that's about that time. Here it is. about that time. What time? They were having revival. Miracles were taking place. Great things. All of a sudden, here comes Herod, and he vexed. Remember that? He vexed certain of the church. Not everybody gets vexed. Not everybody gets harmed. You know, if you're not doing much for the kingdom, well, you don't have much battles. And don't you love it when you're serving God with all your heart on the front lines and somebody comes up to you and knows you're having troubles and they're like, oh, man, sorry about that. You know, and they act like you got the problem. Like you're sinned and the devil's on you and whatever. And it's like, dude, you don't even know what I'm doing. You don't even understand what God's doing in my life. Those are the kind of people you don't need. Job's comforters. You don't need those dudes. You need people who say, brother, I'm praying for you. You keep doing what you're doing. You keep doing what you're doing, okay? So here he is. This is Herod, the nephew. It's in the same family. It's the same bloodline, the same spirit of murder that, you know, took John the Baptist's head. Now in verse 2, James, the first apostle, is martyred. Fulfilled prophecy. Remember that? Mark chapter 10, verse 39. Remember that? Hey, are you willing to drink the drink? Be careful what you sometimes vow to God, because he'll remember it. I use that illustration a lot. When I was 11 years old in a little Southern Baptist church in the Sunday school class, the teacher was teaching on missions. She said, who in this, everybody bow your head and said, who in this room wants to be a missionary? And I raised my hand. God saw that 11 years old, preached my first sermon 11 years old at a Baptist church, and then I ran from God like Speedy Gonzalez. Pew! As soon as I hit teenage, pew! I was gone. But then later on, God caught me. How many of y'all got caught by God? And then here we are today. But he remembers these things, and this is what happened with James. James paid the price, okay? Verse 16, remember they had him blocked in, man, four companies. They really wanted Peter gone. They had him captive, and you guys in the jail ministry, you know that. You don't go through just one door and a padlock. You hear, and then another, and those doors. If you've never been in jail before, it's not a pretty sound. It's a sound you will remember the rest of your life if you ever took a little visit. And so, you know, it wasn't in that same way in that age, but it was still chains. And he was bound by two and then two and then two. Remember that? Very powerful. And but that'll make no difference. God gets you out of anything, right? And then finally, he was clothed in he got his clothes on. Remember that verse 8? I like that. Some people didn't believe me about the pajamas, but I know I laughed about it. Think about it, though. How much stuff he started to put on, you know? I mean, he was asleep. Peter was in total peace, wasn't he? Man, I think if it were me, I don't know how I would act. I'm not going to get up here and be Superman. I'm fixing to have my head chopped off the next day. I think I'd be writing letters. Mama, I love you, Mama. You know, Daddy, you know, I'm sorry for everything I ever did. And, you know, your stolen hammer's underneath the shed, you know, whatever. Whatever I did, I'd confess it all, wouldn't you? I think I would. But anyways, Peter was a tough guy there. And, of course, you know what the Lord showed us. He was laying on the promises. Remember that? Jesus prophesied, said, man, you're going to be old and they're going to carry you away. Don't worry about it now. Can you imagine? Let's think about this for a second. God gave us all promises of longevity. He gave us long life. He said that if we just honor our mothers and fathers and different things. How much more bolder we would be if we would trust the word of God that God will take care of us. You know, I got to go back to this. I remember, and some of y'all were way, way worse than me. Y'all horns were much bigger than mine. But you all remember how you lived for the world and lived for the devil. There was no fear. Hang out the side of a car at 60 miles an hour and never spill a drop. Come on now. Yeah, you know, all that crazy stuff. All this crazy stuff we did, but then we can't get people to go down to the nursing home. You can't get them to go to the jailhouse. You can't get them to give out food. You can't get them to do anything. But before, they were hellions. Devil's on wheels. So anyways, that was for somebody out there somewhere, but I don't want to be that way. I don't want the Lord to look at me and say, well, gee whiz, is that the best you can do for me? You know, is that the best you could produce after all that craziness I delivered you from? So anyways, all right, the book of Acts for tonight. You know, we're going to get through this book eventually. We may be seeing Peter and James and all them by then, but we're going to get there. All right, the book of Acts. When God sets you free, keep going and never look back. Again, sounds very elementary, but when God sets you free, keep going and never look back. Don't look back at spouses, ex-spouses. Don't look back at ex-family members. Don't look back at all the things you used to have. Buddy, God sets you free. You set your head like flint and you look into forever. And that's what you do. You love what you had. You love the life. You're thankful for deliverance. You're thankful for everything. But you can't go back. You got to let the dead bury the dead. You know, we're coming upon that season where people are going to get mopey and dopey and depressive and crybaby and everything's going to go back to yesterday. Yesterday is gone. Get over it. That was free, whoever needed to hear that. Because this is the time of year when more suicides take place because people just get mopey. You cannot do that. All right? You're set free, then don't look back. All right. And we'll see that in this teaching. The doors of our destiny are always opened by faith. The doors of our destiny are always opened by faith, but we must be willing to walk through them. The doors of our destiny are always opened by faith, but we must be willing to walk through them. So in other words, the destiny that God has for you and I, they open up by our faith in God to go into our destiny. But there is a physical aspect to it. Work and what? Faith. They're mingled together. Faith by works. Works by faith. You can't separate them. So if I have my destiny and you have the destiny before us, we open those doors by faith, but we must walk through them. So many people want God to put them on the boat. They want God to put them in the pool. They want God to put them in that troubled water. They want God to put them on the other side of the Red Sea. No, you, Moses, take those children over dry ground. While the alien armies of the Antichrist, which was Pharaoh, comes after you. Okay. Okay, God. I'm trusting you. Isn't that a fish? Yeah, that's a fish. Keep walking, son. And we have to get a hold of that. And this is really good because we're coming into a transition time of 2018 to 2019. And the doors of destiny are already open for us. They're there because it's by faith. But we got to be willing to walk into 19 with the power and the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ and with the belief that it's going to be our best year, no matter what goes on around us, okay? And that isn't hyper faith. That's just reality. Because no matter how dark it gets and no matter how close we get to the end times, faith will always be needed. All the principles of the word stays. It never changes. And nowhere in there does it say, okay, everything stops. It's the book of Revelation, bad times. Throw everything out you learned before and learn how to hold on. No way. Now's the time we learn to use all of those things God taught us in those battles, okay? And then finally, the life of faith is a life full of miracles. A life of faith is a life full of miracles. The life of faith. The life of faith, living by faith, it is full of miracles. It is full of miracles, and we need to understand that, especially as we get closer into the darker days that are before us. I'm telling you, guys, I know what the Bible says, and we know what it says, and it's going to get rough, but I just believe the best days for the church are right here. I really do. I really do. What takes greater faith, sliding your card to buy your meal or pulling out some cash or praying and asking God to feed us? The greater miracle will be by faith. And so what an exciting day is coming up. All right, Acts chapter 12, let's go, man. Peter, he's in trouble, man. They arrested Peter. They got him. Just killed James. Things ain't looking good, man. Revival was shooting up high. Miracles taking place. People getting raised from the dead. Peter was getting a little bit of castigated from the brethren, but then they fixed that thing up. And then all of a sudden, here we go. There, he's in prison. And the angel comes in, right? And he tells him to get dressed, puts all the sandals. Verse 8, and so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. I love that, because even the angel had to tell him how to get dressed. I don't know how old Peter was, but he still had somebody help tell him to get dressed. I mean, he's just a big old boy. I just picture Peter as a good old fisherman, just a good old country boy. And, you know, I could just see that angel. Don't forget your hairbrush. Get your toothbrush, son. Get that night bag with you, you know. I like adding a little bit there, but you just got to picture this angel, you know, that's trying to get this big old burly fisherman back in order here. He was kind of hard-headed, wasn't he, on the roof with the vision? Watch verse 9. And he went out and he followed him, and he wist not that it was true. I mean, he was totally had no idea what was taking place. Have you ever been there where you've been so sleepy and you got up and you don't even know how you got in the car? You had to look down and make sure you had shoes on. One of those moments. And he didn't know it was true, which was by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. I mean, he was really, really messed up here, tired. And I believe there's a supernatural haze that's put on people during miracles anyways. I believe there's a supernatural suspension. Because the truth of a miracle by definition is a suspension of natural laws. Getting saved is not a miracle. That's natural. That should happen. You should get born again. But a miracle, when a limb grows back or an organ is transplanted or something internal, cancer comes out, that is a miracle, because the natural law of death and disease is suspended and the supernatural law of divine health is imparted. And so that's where God does his best work, is in the supernatural, because that's who he is and that's where he lives. So I think there's some type of haze that goes on there, because if not, I think a lot of times we would resist the miracle. I think a lot of times, you know, like for an example with Abraham, you know, when God was making covenant, he had to put Abraham out. He knocked him out. He let him have a dark sleep over him, a deep sleep. Remember, the darkness came upon him. Of course, we know that was covenant being made with Jesus, which was that lamp, that fire. But he still had to put Moses in that position. And same thing with Adam whenever the rib came out. You know, that's why man's still kind of sleepy. If you ladies ever wonder what's wrong with men, they're usually still sluggish from the garden. That's, if I had a drum, if Leon was here, we'd get a drum roll on that one. All right. Brinton. All right. So he thought it was a vision. He didn't know what was going on. But look at this. He was at complete peace. He got his clothes on, but he just did not get the whole idea. Now, verse 10, and when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate. Do y'all realize what's happening right here? This is a jailbreak. God, huh? Took him right out. God is breaking this man out of jail. Write that down. Write down jailbreak, and then I want you to write something else down. I want you to write down inside job. This is an inside job. There wasn't nobody out there sawing some iron gates or using a blowtorch or C4 or some type of dynamite. This was God inside the prison, and there was a jailbreak. Woo! Glory to God. Listen, next time you get in trouble, something goes on in your life, and I don't mean you sinned or got in trouble. I'm just saying, you know, you fighting the devil, just keep thinking, inside job. Don't worry, devil, there's an inside job coming, and my God's going to break me out of this thing. So this is a jailbreak, man. Watch it. First ward, second ward, and he's got guards there. These wards, each ward had two dudes, and they were knocked out. I mean, this is awesome. This is like Mission Impossible. I wish I had some music behind me playing Mission Impossible, because that's what it is, man. And they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. So play this back with me. Here's Peter. He's sound asleep. He's got his clothes strung everywhere. You know, he's laid out. He's between these two hairy guards. They're probably hairy. They always look hairy in the movies, you know, some type of Dracula-looking guy. But here they are. And then this angel comes, shines a light on it, turns on the night light, knocks him in the shoulder, says, "Psst, get up, Peter. Get all your clothes on. You know, get that on too." Gets everything on, goes past them. I could just see them sneaking past the guards, all the way from the first, the second ward, all the way to the gate, and then all of a sudden, and besides, the chains fell off. And then the gate opens supernaturally. I'm telling you right now, when God does a job, He does it right. He does it right. But I could just, y'all got to use your imagination. I could just see them both just kind of creeping, man, just coming out of there. To the gate, watch this now, opens with their own accord, all right? And then, what's so big deal about that? I'll tell you what's a big deal about that. Matthew 16, 18 says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Peter was doing the right thing. Peter wasn't doing nothing wrong. I don't expect God to break no jail, no drug dealer out of jail or anything like that. But Peter was a man of God. Peter was going to be assassinated. He wasn't just going to be murdered. He was going to be assassinated for his work for Jesus Christ. And he was wrongly accused. And God just saw fit that I'm going to deliver Peter. And I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to wait for a lawyer. I'm not going to change Herod's heart. I'm going to send in my angel behind the gates. And I'm going to pop him out. I'm getting Peter out of here. And so here they are. They're standing at the gates. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, and they open on its own accord. Now watch this with Peter, man. This is awesome. So he's at the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Think with me for a second. I just creepy crawled out of that building. The gates open up wide for me, and I turn around and say thank you, and he's gone. Y'all use your imagination for a second here. Think about Peter. Don't be so super spiritual. He just broke out of jail, and the guy that helped him, whoop. There's no getaway car. There's no accomplice. There's no witness. There's nobody I can blame this on. I'm out here in the street, and the guy or whatever broke me out has left me. Does God not have a sense of humor? That is hilarious. Think about it. You ever done something? Come on now. You ever done something with somebody a long time ago and they left you? I have. Somebody left me and the cops came to me. Y'all don't remember those days? I do. But think about that. This is Peter. He ain't done nothing wrong. He was willing to die. I mean, he's in there peacefully. And then all of a sudden he gets all the way through at the end and God leaves him. That's hilarious, man. That is hilarious. That's the whole point. Because your destiny opens for you, but you got to walk it on out. That's what I meant in the beginning there. Your destiny had opened for you, but that man of God had to walk it on out of there. And you can't look around all the time for physical help. Because sometimes that physical help ain't going to be there. God will carry you so far, then he'll set you down and say, go ahead. Go ahead. But our problem is we want God to take us all the way through. He will, but he'll do it his way. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Listen, I wrote this down because I like this statement. I do what I do, you do what you do. That's God talking. I do what I do, you do what you do. In other words, he says, I'll do what I do. Now you go do what you do. Well, I don't want to. Then go back into the jail. But I'll tell you what religious people would do. You know what religious people would do? They say, this is wrong. I'm going back into jail. I don't want to get in trouble. I'll tell you what free people would do. Free people would be gone. I would be out of there. You'd never see me again if I could help it. All right, so check that out. I thought that was so amazing and so hilarious and just like our daddy. I mean, God is awesome. The angel departed. That is hilarious. Think about it. Why didn't he just take him all the way through to the next level of where Peter was headed? Because there's only so far God's going to take you. And so many Christians, they want God to take him all the way. Take me all the way. Do everything for me. Well, he ain't. think about your salvation. He already busted you out of jail. Now you live the life. You be a Christian. You be a disciple. You be on fire for God. Instead of looking for training wheels and stuff to get you through. I wish I had somebody that agreed with me. Watch this verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself. That's what I'm talking about. This haze. When he came to himself. Think about this now. He's standing outside the jail. Let's go down to Franklin County Jail. Let's stand out in front of the jail. The guy that busted you out ain't there. So you're standing there, you're looking up, and all of a sudden the haze comes off of you. And you realize, I just got out of jail. And not only did I get out of jail, it's real. So Peter's standing there, and when he comes to us, he says, now I know of a surety. I get it. What? He said, I got it of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel. Duh. Duh. Yeah, I don't want to say where he was from, but I offend somebody. But I'm like, duh. I wrote it in my notes. I said, duh, do you think? I'm not making fun of Peter. I don't want to get mad at me when I see him up there. But I'm just saying, when you look at it, you got to look at the natural aspect of this. Again, we read the Bible and we all, and we just supernaturally gloss over everything. Put humanity there. Put yourself in that. He was like, I know it now. Yeah, an angel got me out of here. Watch this. And hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. He said, now I understand. God wants me out of here and keep me from the murderous people and keep me from Herod. The expectation of the Jews means what the Jews expected Herod to do, which was to kill him. He got it. Now watch this. Why can't we understand that when God saves us, he saves us from the assassination of the enemy? He saves us from our murder. He saves us from our self-infliction to deliver us to his plan. If we know that, then why don't we live that way and say, I'm free. I've been freed so I can preach. I've been freed to love. I've been freed to be a successful Christian in the kingdom of God. We don't have that mindset because we're always picking up baggage and we watch this. We go from being freed to being chained, from being freed to being chained, to being freed to being chained, to never being free and walking in that freedom. Okay? I'm not talking about the enemy attacking you. I'm talking about pulling you back to habits, pulling you back to past, pulling you back to exes and things that we've gone through and trying to go back and say, well, I wonder if we just could ever be that way again. Pop! Blow that thing up and move on, because it ain't going to be. Amen? If you're not there, there's a reason why you're not there. God took you out of that mess, okay? So he was so out of it, man. Again, I believe there's a miracle type of haze that happens with people. And this is a huge, huge, huge miracle that took place. So, all right, so he comes to himself. He realizes it. Watch verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he's still considering it. He hasn't moved yet. Now, how long he was there, I don't know, between 11 and 12, but he's still, verse 11 and 12, he's still standing there going, yeah, that says prison. Yeah, I'm in the middle of the road at night. So he's still dealing with this thing. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. Okay, the Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, because he had a Jewish name and he had a Roman name, John Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So he had enough common sense to get up and to begin to move, and he goes to the house of Mary. Tradition says this is where one of the suppers was held, just a very special place. And I think it was a Passover meal, if I'm correct on that. So it was very special. And one of the other things that the scholars would say, that Mary's house was very big, it was very nice, and so the churches would go, they would go to house churches because they're too big. They could not fit in one building, too many people. So Mary's was a place that you would expect them to have prayer meetings, okay? It was a really nice place. So here it is, he goes to that house, and they're doing what? They're gathered together praying. Well, what do you think they were praying about? Peter. Remember earlier they were praying earnestly that he would get free. So most likely they were probably praying for Peter. So you'd imagine that type of prayer meeting. They're in there praying. Watch verse 13. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda, which means rose. So Rhoda comes to the gate. Here's Peter. He's knocking. He's out in the street. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. She's over there. He's knocking on the gate. She comes to the gate to see who it is. She sees it's Peter, or she hears that it's Peter, and she leaves him outside. Think about this, people. Think about this with Peter. He just broke out of jail out of the most secure. This would be like the high security prison. This is Alcatraz. Okay, I mean, he has the most security available for this one guy. He breaks out with the help of an angel he never met. Didn't even get his name. Couldn't even shake his hand. Yeah, couldn't even say thank you. And he's standing out in front of the pokey. He's out in front of the jailhouse. So he finds his way to the church where he knows everybody's going to be praying. He knocks on the door, and she runs away. If you've ever been in trouble before, the best place to be when you're in trouble is not where everybody sees you. It's hidden, right? How many of y'all ever ran from the law? Don't look at me. But you don't run from the law under a lampstand, a light post. You never, never find a criminal, you know, at a payphone with the light on at night. You know, he's always in the bushes waiting for his ride. Right? So here he is. He knocks on the door. She runs because she's excited. But ran in and told Peter how Peter stood at the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad. You're a crazy lady." Actually, the word is insane. "You are absolutely insane, lady." Now, don't you find this ironic? They're in a prayer meeting praying for Peter. A lady comes in and says, "Peter's here." "Oh, shut up, you're crazy lady. What's wrong with you? You think our prayers are going to be answered like that?" Isn't that like us sometimes? Haven't you ever heard, have the Lord nudge you and say, "Quit praying," and you keep praying? He's like, "Quit praying," you keep praying, and the answer's already there? That is hilarious. I could imagine Peter saying, "Really? You did all that to have me killed right here? This is great. This is absolute insanity." "Thou art mad," but she continuously, could you see her just jumping up? I'm telling you, Peter's outside. Watch the way it sounds here. And they said to her, "Thou art mad," but she consistently affirmed. That means she continuously said, he's out there. Even so, they said, "It is his angel." Wow. Now, before we get really mad at them and think they're being superstitious and crazy, they had an understanding of guardian angels. They had an understanding that possibly this was his spirit and that he had been killed in prison. Because they believed in the departing of spirits, and they believed that maybe he was coming back to either tell them of the event or a prophetic event. If you look in the Bible, there's all types of incidences where people believed in departed spirits or ghosts. Not in ghosts as in negative, but in the departed spirit of that particular person. The Bible does tell us that the angels always behold the face of God, talking about the children. The children have guardian angels, isn't that right? So when you read this and you do a little bit of history study and you understand how they felt about those things. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. Let's look at that real quick and watch this and understand where these guys were coming from, okay? Before we castigate them and say, "Oh man, they were spiritists," or they were acting all all kinds of things. But remember this, Jesus walked on water, remember that? They were toiling all night, verse 48, watch verse 49. When they saw him walking upon the water, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. Remember that? They absolutely cried out. They thought, oh my gosh, it's a ghost. Same thing with Jesus when he walked through the wall being resurrected. They thought they saw a ghost, a spirit. He said, nah, touch me, Thomas. Hee-hee, I'm alive, brother. He's like, no, that's good. Yeah, I got you, bro. Okay, I'll take your word for that, Lord, and go on. So there's other places you can find this in Genesis and other places about these departed spirits. So in Judaism and in that time, they really believed that. Okay, so that was a legitimate answer. So go back to that. I want you to see that. And they said it was his angel. So they said, hey, lady, you're just crazy. There's no way Peter can get out of here. They probably killed him, and that's an angel. They believe more of a supernatural appearance of an angel than they did for him being freed, which shows you their faith wasn't there yet. Okay? They just didn't get it. So Peter continued knocking. Come on, guys, put your mind on, man. Peter's out there still knocking. Come on, guys, y'all, please. You don't understand. I'm about to die. Could you please hurry up? Knocking on. What are y'all doing in there? Having a Tupperware party? You know what I mean? What in the world? I'm about to get my head chopped off. You're in there praying for me? All right. So Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished. It's the same word. It actually means insane. They were beside themselves. They could not believe that Peter was standing right there. The miracle of God, delivering Peter, bringing him to a safe place, and God answered their prayers. You see, God is going to bring us to a place, I really believe that it's even now, it's happening now, but as we go further into the end times, and don't look at 19 as a number, I look at 19 as an opportunity. As we move into this coming year, I believe that we're going to have miracles and things like this that are just going to astound us. It is absolutely going to make us be besides ourselves and the people around us, because I'm going to tell you, that's what they need to see. Come on, that's what they need to see in America and the craziness that's going on. They need to see the miracle working power of God. And I believe that if you and I ever get into a position to where the enemy's against us, God is going to break us out of that jail cell. He's going to break us out of that issue. I'm not necessarily saying physical jail cell. I don't know what God will do. All things are possible. I'm going to do my best not to get in that jail to find out. I'd recommend you not trying it, but if, you know, whatever it is, whatever attack of the enemy, God's going to see us through. And so he continually knocked on the door, and when they saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace. You know what he was doing? Shh. Shh. He was like, shh, be quiet. Man, I'm under the street lamp. I've been knocking for about 30 minutes. You're in there hooting and hollering. You know, however long he's been out there and he's got his hand over his mouth. I just think this is hilarious. It probably wasn't very funny for Peter, but I think it, from this perspective, historically looking down on it, you know, that's hilarious to me. But he's beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And departed, and he went into another place. Okay? So he went into another place. What was he doing? Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, and I'll show you one other thing, and then I'll get out of your way so you can sharpen your knives for tomorrow. Verse 33. Oh, where is that? What did I say? Matthew 10? Oh, let me see where I'm at here. Oh, 23, I'm sorry. Verse 23 says, but when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Don't you think Jesus knew? He absolutely knew what was going to happen to them. But you know what? They didn't really get it. They really didn't get it. What do you mean I'm going to be persecuted and run from city to city, blah, blah, blah? Well, guess what? Everything Jesus prophesied came to pass. He told them, you're going to go from city to city. So before I close here, where did he go? See, we don't know. We really don't know. We really don't know where he went. Okay, so it's very interesting. He did exactly what the Lord told him to. He's brought out of prison, goes to the people. He's there with his brethren. He gets put in a position there, and then all of a sudden he disappears. We really don't know where he went, but where he went, they didn't find him. Okay, so which is a very interesting fact that if God wants you hid, he'll hide you. If it's not your time to die, if it's not your time to face certain things in life, then God will make a way for you and I to escape. That's why we're supposed to not worry about what we say in the time of persecution. We're not supposed to worry about, you know, I've heard people tell me, well, I don't know what I would do if I were put in that position to lose my head, or I was put in that position to whatever, confess something against Christ or whatever. I don't think you have to worry about that. If you love God with all your heart, and you're born again and you love him, I'll tell you right now, he'll give you the words to say. If you ever get a chance, and I don't recommend reading it, you know, during Thanksgiving or Christmas, but when you get a chance, read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I have several different types of those books. The Fox's Book of Martyrs talks about all the stories of the martyrs, the people that were killed, and their last words. And it's amazing to hear these people who were being burned at the stake and who were losing their lives, how they did not curse the people, they did not care for their own bodies, but they glorified Jesus, and their own words were testimony to the hearers and convicted many people. You'll be surprised what's inside of you, but only pressure will determine what comes out, okay? So that was an interesting thing. And the last thing I wanted to say was... James was killed, is that right? Prior to that, we saw where it pleased the Jews, and Herod has took his life. Is that correct? Think about this for a second. Why did God let James die but Peter live? You know, easy thing to say is the sovereignty of God, but it's very interesting aspects of kingdom living. God's going to do what he wants to do. Amen. And we're not to judge his methods as far as what he wants to do or his will. But it's very interesting if you ponder for a second this story and say, well, why didn't James escape? And why did God let this happen that way? Well, he is sovereign, that's for sure. But God has a plan. And God was finished with James. And James did what he was supposed to do. And then God turned his focus on Peter and who was left. So it's just interesting thoughts in the Word of God. Hope you've enjoyed tonight. I love everybody. You have a blessed Thanksgiving. Those on live stream, I love you. Be safe tomorrow. Heavenly Father, thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the opportunity to speak these words to your people. Let everybody be blessed this coming Thanksgiving day with family and friends. If they're traveling, let angels round about them. If they're going off on Friday, Father God, let them use wisdom and be careful in these crowds. Use discernment where you go. Watch your back and pray and plead the blood of Jesus. Lord, we love you, and I say thank you for everything you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed and be safe. Woo!